On the ice and throughout Orange County, the Ducks strive to support by giving back to local communities and programs. Join us as we take flight over Southern California on Leading the Flock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Leading the Flock, coming at you from the Crea Studios here in Anaheim. And it's been a while, but Lindsay Spindle joins me. She is the president of the Samueli Family Philanthropies.
It's great to be back.
My goodness. We were just talking about it. It's like a year.
Felt like a dog year.
Yes, which is a long time.
It's a long time.
Very long time. But so much has happened in this year. And we have basically been spending about the last half an hour talking about everything. But now, except for the Samueli Foundation, because we wanted to wait till we actually were rolling tape to talk about this.
I want to tell you, I think you de-aged this year. You look great.
Well, you're kind of out of the gates hot. That was good. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I shortened the hair a little bit. And I, you know what? This day and age, when I do grow my beard, it comes in gray.
Yes.
So I need to kind of, I appreciate that. Somebody didn't recognize me the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I do have to tell you a story, and this has nothing to do with our conversation, but growing up, my friend's parents, I still call them by—
Where did you grow up?
Costa Mesa.
Okay.
So Mr. and Mrs. Leonard, I still call them that.
That's sweet.
Right? So they're still— and so I saw Mrs. Leonard at a my mom and my stepdad's 80th birthday party, and she pulled me aside, and she's like, "Why do you have a beard? People with pretty faces shouldn't have beards."
Aww.
I said, "Mrs. Leonard, I appreciate that." She's like, "I would like you to shave it off."
I mean, that part maybe not as sweet, but the sentiment behind it.
I said, "Mrs. Leonard, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I will consider it."
So, good answer.
From my mom and her friends, I was getting a little, some thoughts and opinions. And so I decided I'll try it. So thank you.
I think people have strong feelings about facial hair.
They do. Yeah, so whatever, I'll go with it. You know, I mean, the Just for Men thing, you know, didn't really want to go that direction.
No.
So
never a good look.
So here I am.
You look great.
By the way, you look golden and happy off of your Peruvian vacation.
Thank—
did I say
you—
that right? Peruvian.
Peruvian.
Peruvian. Peruvian.
It was spectacular. I mean, we'll talk about everything in Orange County and all the new things. But when you contrast it with going to a place where you see these ancient temples built by Incans in the 1100s, it's really spectacular. And, you know, the Incans were just these incredibly productive people, but they did— I mean, there's an analogy here, right? Like, they knew the importance of community, and they built these gorgeous structures, not only temples to sun gods, and, you know, but they built these— this one place, it's this agricultural experimentation center. It's these big circles that they would just try and plant different things and see what would grow and what wouldn't. And then they would carry it off into the villages and this and that. I mean, they were just these amazing, amazing people. You go up to Machu Picchu, which, you know, it's this iconic image of a place I've seen thousands of times in images, and it blows you away. Not because it's that much more spectacular, but how did these people build something like— mm-hmm. —this, 8,800 feet in the air, in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of nowhere, and have it be so spectacular and enduring? And so, you know, imagine what we're building here in Orange County, what it might mean for generations to come. That's exciting.
How does an experience like that, a place like that, help reset the soul for you?
Peru was, it was great to be in a place where people have such a strong sense of culture and people are really proud of their culture. The elevation takes a little bit of adjustment, right? Even just getting your breathing and your heart— yeah. —rate, right? Like, I'm sort of like a 59, 60 resting heart rate person, which is pretty good for— yeah. —my age. And I would wake up there and it would be like 75, you know, just the pressure on your system, but you're out in nature and birds and mountains and trying things. I showed a picture to Joey. I'll show it to you later. I ate a guinea pig.
Oh boy.
It's a local tradition. And to put yourself just out there into something—
yes.
—that's totally unlike your day-to-day.
Yes.
We had an experience with a local shaman and a sound healer. It was amazing. I think if you just totally suspend like what your normal day-to-day is and go with it. Go somewhere far and different and go with it. It fills you with so much energy and love and curiosity. And curiosity is the name of the game when you're in philanthropy. You have to have an open heart and a curious sense. You have to, we talked about this last time, you have to believe.
Yeah.
But sometimes your belief gets challenged. And so it's a good way to go refill your tank.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because kind of where I was going at it, as we kind of bring this all back to our conversation, like you brought it back to OC Vibe. We get so caught up in being in the moment here,
yeah,
that we don't take time to step outside of our moments to look from the outside in. And that can reevaluate. It can help us grow. It can make us feel uncomfortable doing things you did in Peru that will create growth in you and bring back a new perspective back here to what you want to do
totally
with the foundation and with OC Vibe.
Totally. And it's our son. He's turning 16 next month.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know, we want to take him somewhere to experience something so different, right? Somewhere that he will remember years from now. I think that's like one of the best things of travel, right? It's just like leaves this permanent memory. It imprints itself into you. But it is about, ultimately, it's about perspective.
Yep. And that being said, when you look at the Samuele Foundation and what you're doing and what Henry and Susan are doing, it is about perspective. It's about growth. It's about thinking outside the box. And it's about accelerating things a little bit, correct?
Yes. So we've been busy since the last time I saw you.
Full disclosure, Wendy Asiero, who's the director of the foundation, the Anaheim Ducks Foundation.
Anaheim Ducks Foundation, yeah.
She sent me a note before you and I sat down, and I'm like, my goodness, Lindsay's been busy. Like, of all the stuff going on with the Samuele Foundation and everything, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm so excited to sit down and talk with you to learn about all this.
You're so sweet. Well, I mean, I am busy because I work for amazingly ambitious people. I mean, yeah. Henry and Susan are in a position in life where if they wanted to sit back and relax and enjoy, you know, take a little downtime, no one would begrudge right. them that kind of relaxation. And yet they are getting more and more ambitious, particularly in their philanthropy. I mean, OC Vibe is another extraordinary ambition, which we can save for another, you know.
Sure.
OC Vibe people can take that one on better than I can. But in philanthropy, and I won't be shy about it, Henry has said this publicly, and so I'll just restate it. Over the first sort of 25, 30 years of the foundation, Henry and Susan very quietly gave away about $1 billion, which is mind-blowing. It's a mind-blowing amount of money to commit.
I'm glad you said that, because people don't get it.
People
right?
don't get
it. And everyone says how philanthropic they are and how the team embraces, you know, what they do, which right. is all true.
Okay. Just wait. So 25, 30 years, $1 billion. We're getting ready to do the same amount, if not more, in the next decade.
I'm not surprised. As crazy as it sounds.
Proves to you, right? It quantifies their ambition. Just about how much they care about this community, how determined they are in their lifetimes to make the biggest impact possible. And the fact that I get to be their partner in this, it's like, it's truly a dream come true. I have a dream job. So yes, we've been busy. We spent the year working to really clarify what our mission, vision, values, and focus is. We clarified our financial commitments. We started to really look around Orange County and think about what are areas that we are positioned to make a huge difference on that would really matter, that would fundamentally help transform the county and bring well-being to all. And so, like, we're moving in totally different directions than the foundation's been in its history.
You know what? And please even just put an exclamation point on what you said. It's amazing when people do give outside the community, but they are focused on the community. And you don't see that a lot, that they are really going, Orange County is our backyard.
Totally.
We're going to take care of our people, our places, and make them even that much better.
I love that you say that, right? I before I worked for Henry and Susan, I worked for another amazing philanthropist. His name is Jeff Skoll. He's a global philanthropist. Mm-hmm. He works on social innovation and entrepreneurship around the globe, money in six different continents. And it's amazing, right? And I'm on the board of directors there. So I still get that global work. It is rare to find a couple who care so much about where they live that they feel such a deep, meaningful attachment to that community that they want to give it their everything. And I mean, they're giving it their everything, their time, their treasure, their ties, everything that they have to offer to try to make Orange County the very, very, very best place to live, to model what well-being for all looks like so that other counties around the country might pick it up. It's extraordinary what they're doing.
How does one sit back, and you just talked about some of the things that you're doing and you're laying out with the Samuelis to kind of get this done in the next decade. But what does that look like as from a mission statement standpoint? And what has that changed at all?
Yes. You know, we spent a lot of time to try to really define, you know, you read mission statements of lots of organizations, and they all sound amazing, and yet sometimes they don't sound particularly unique or special.
Okay, thanks for saying that, because I don't know. A lot of them look alike.
A lot of them look alike. A lot of them sound alike. And a really good mission statement, and then some of them, I mean, our kids go to the same school. Mm-hmm. Their school's not like this, but sometimes a mission statement is also like four paragraphs long.
Right.
Because they feel like a good mission statement actually tells you every single thing they do on a daily basis. But that's not a good mission statement. That's an essay.
Agreed.
A mission statement states your single reason for being. It provides substantial inspiration and direction to both your team and the outside world, so they know what you're looking for, what you want to be doing. It does not state every single thing that you do. And it gives you this sort of guidepost, right? It ultimately becomes a filtration system, because there are lots of things we could give money to, but we don't, because right. they don't necessarily fit in the mission. One of the most important things that we did when we revised the mission statement is we made it unbelievably clear. We anchored Orange County in the mission. Our mission, I'm going to simplify it for brevity's sake for the podcast, but is to make Orange County the model county of well-being for all, of where everyone has a shot at opportunity and well-being. And we do that by investing in others, by really being their, you know, being their accelerant. They've got the ideas, we've got resources to back them. People who are catalytic, people who are really fundamentally trying to make change that will last, enduring change for this county.
So hearing you, you guys are on the precipice of doing something that really hasn't been done, because you're saying that other people are going to follow this, which is awesome. Is there an example at all, or is this all new territory for you to go out and be able to do this and make it so county centric?
Yes. Yeah, so a nerdy term in philanthropy is called place-based giving. There are good examples of this. Actually, you know, some peers of Henry and Susan's who own sports teams, it's, you know, an obvious affinity sure. they have for the place that their team is, the place that they live, to want to make the place better. That tends to usually be sort of at a city level, Washington, D.C. or Atlanta. Up in Oregon, Phil Knight has done a lot in his community, right? People who I am unfamiliar right now of anyone who's trying to be as ambitious at a countywide level. Remember, sixth largest county by population in the country, 3 million people. We are big enough to matter. What we do here is of consequence. I'm not aware of anyone who's trying to do what we're trying to do over the next decade and beyond.
And it's going to be neat too. And again, just to kind of touch on the OC vibe part of it, that will be really an arm that will help support this. Not to dive into what OC vibe is, yeah. but OC vibe, we touched on how that will help support the ambitions totally. of the Samuel A. Foundation.
Yeah, look, it becomes this machine of change, right? So there's straight giving that a foundation does, grant making and some, you know, sort of traditional things that we do. Then you have this whole business forming that is about building community, right? So it's a for-profit venture, but it is all about civic transformation and making Orange County fundamentally a better place, giving it an epicenter of entertainment.
It's a downtown Orange County.
It's a downtown Orange County, which brings jobs, which brings vibrancy, which brings the kinds of things that are the markers of a super healthy place to live.
So you have the mission statement, you have all this, you know, tremendous stuff. And then following that, though, there is a symbol, there is a logo, there is something new that really represents this from a picture standpoint.
Yes. So, again, nerdy talk, once you've sort of done what you call your strategic identity, which is your mission, vision, values, then you want a visual representation.
By the way, this is fascinating. This is cool stuff. Like, people need to, who are tuning into this, need to like get a pen and paper out because this is good stuff. I mean,
philanthropy 101.
Please, this is, and it's not just philanthropy, it's just like, I'm hearing what you're saying. And for future endeavors, me and Joey and, you know, Joey Cocktails, by the way, that's what we call him. He's here.
But to
really just, it's, I don't know, a quick tangent, but your mind is so busy and is going so many directions. You have to have some sort of a map, a compass to be able to put all this stuff down and do the right things at the right time.
Yes.
And it sounds to me like what you're doing and the steps that you're taking with the new mission statement, a new logo and everything, these are all very intentional things that you're doing.
Absolutely. And you're right that whether you're a multi-billion dollar for-profit company or you're a foundation or you're a hockey franchise, you have to know your reason for being. Mm-hmm. You have to know your values, because what you will and won't tolerate inside of an organization is your make or break.
Yeah.
And then you want a visual identity that's your calling card to the outside world. It really starts to become sort of the reason that someone might want to come learn more about you. And there's this amazing science behind good logo design.
What's in a logo? A lot.
A lot. Our new one, I love. We worked with an extraordinary designer. Her name is Sue Hale. She's got a great company. And first and foremost, it's orange.
Well, that's the first thing that stood out to me. Yes.
And that matters for
absolutely.
When Orange County is your reason for being, your logo should be orange. And it actually, if you cut an orange, like an orange, the fruit down the middle, and you cut a slice of an orange, it literally looks like a slice of an orange. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. But then let's dissect it a little bit more, and maybe you can, share an image of it.
Can people find it?
On our website.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Which is under construction, but you can see the logo there.
Okay.
Then you start to deconstruct it. This is when it gets really good. So you take that orange slice and you stare at it, and all of a sudden you realize the white space in the middle, there's sort of these six little pieces that come together in the orange slice. And in the middle of that white space is a white Star of David. And it is there because the Samuelis' spirit of generosity, the kindness they bring, is 100% anchored in their Judaism. It is anchored in their faith. It is a faith about doing good in the world, about making the world a better place. And to have it hardwired into the logo is just so beautiful, that their faith, their beliefs is, it's really their guiding. Yeah. It's the animating force of who they are and how they walk in the world and the spirit that we try to bring in the foundation. We have six values. So these six little pieces each demonstrate our values. But it is also, when you look at the logo and you look at these parts coming together, it is really about when communities sit down at a table together and figure out ways to work together. That's when the magic happens. And so much about what we're trying to do at the Samuel A. Foundation is less about funding one person here and one person here and these silos and people who are doing the same thing, but they don't even know each other. It is about uniting. It is about connecting. It is, that's where the magic happens, when you get people collaborating for good. And so I love the new logo because I think it's just a perfect summation of who we are. It's distinct. It's our calling card. And it shows how much love we have for Orange County.
What was the aha moment of the logo? Like, how long did it take? Was it one of those things where she presented it and you're like, are you kidding me? Or just a couple tweaks here and there?
No. Instantaneous right? love.
I'm getting that sense.
Okay. So Sue is a pro.
Yeah.
And she and her team are amazing. Hale Design. Everyone should look them up. And she's done some really heavy hitting corporate, you know, she did Taco Bell. She did Walmart. She did Hyatt Hotels. Like she does big things. But she also runs her business and wants to have clients that like mean something to her too. So she balances out her portfolio. So she walked me through this presentation. It had 8 different options. And the second I saw this, I had to like try to contain myself, right? Because you want to give a creative team the benefit of the doubt of walking through everything. I was like, that one. But, you know, so we decided that we would share 3 with Henry and Susan because you want them to have choices as well. And it was the same exact reaction, that one. And I will say, Henry, of all people, he warned me up front that he was going to be the hardest sell. And I wasn't expecting it. He and Susan have been so amazingly trusting, and I have a ton of autonomy in my job. They really are like as amazing as they are as hockey owners to let the professionals run a hockey team. They are the exact same way as it relates to their philanthropy, which also makes them quite unique.
Yes.
But he warned me. He was like, this may be the place where I'm not sold. And he saw it and it was like instantaneous love.
Oh, by the way, that's not intimidating at all. When Henry's like, I'm going to be the hardest one. You're like, okay, right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, you know what though? I appreciate his candor.
For sure.
Totally.
For sure. And it's a challenge too, because you want to bring him the very, very best.
Always.
What's the next step? Okay. So let's revisit
this.
We have the new mission statement, the new logo. We have now a timeline, the next decade to do this.
Yes. Hopefully more, but yes, that's what we're focused on right now.
You have kind of laid out some of the groundwork that you've already done.
Yeah.
Is there, do you have a first goal? Do you have the first 10 yard line you want to get to here in this football field of the next 10 years?
Yeah, I would say maybe one way to answer that is to talk about some of the new areas that we're looking at focusing on.
New. So these are
things we've never done before.
Okay.
So what would you guess consistently comes up in Orange County as people's number one concern about the future of the county?
You know, I'm going to say just because I have traveled recently and seen it a huge problem when it comes to homelessness.
That is the number one. It comes up in every poll that's done. It comes up in every, it is, and it's an important concern. Not just homelessness, but affordable housing, because it's a very expensive place to live. And so we have people who are chronically homeless, people who have been without a home for a year. And these are people who I think the image of them is what people traditionally associate with homelessness. But then there are people who live on the bubble. They are at risk of losing their home on a daily basis because of economic fragility. It is an extremely expensive place to live. You see this in families, in veterans, in young people trying to work and get started here. It's tough. And so we have an obligation. We need to step into this space and beyond just building some affordable housing at OC Vibe, which is going to be amazing, but that cannot be our sole contribution. The foundation has to step up and step into this very, very complicated and emotional place. And so that is one of the first things we're looking at. We're looking at a range of different things. I'll give you an example. What if you were to set up a prevention fund? Sometimes people just need a couple of months of rent to be able to stabilize. Mm-hmm. And if that stabilization happens, they don't get evicted, they stay in their apartment, and then they surface out of it, right? So a lot of people focus on building shelters and getting people, but what if we want to stop if we have 6,000-7,000 homeless people right now, we don't want that to grow to 10 or 12 or 15.
So there's keep you in your home if we can.
So that's an area that we're looking at. How do we actually try to contain this problem while housing supply catches up, while some of these other interventions catch up? So that's a totally new area for us, but we're super excited to be moving into this. Another one, which I'm super, super enthusiastic about. What if I told you that 17 to 18,000 great paying jobs go unfilled in Orange County every year because we don't have the workforce to fill the jobs?
Can I ask you a question about the question?
Yes.
Is that pre-COVID or post-COVID?
Post-COVID.
What I'm going to say is this a result of COVID?
No.
And the reason, you know why I'm asking that, right? A lot of people wanted to work from home. They made that a line in the sand.
Yep.
So this is something totally different. This is totally 18,000 jobs, well-paying jobs that are going
year over year going unfilled. They're in IT, they're in healthcare. These are jobs that you don't necessarily need a four-year degree for. You need a certificate. There are a number of different reasons. Some of it is pipeline. Some of it is affordable housing. You gotta like do a lot to unpack it. But there are some amazing interventions, including, by the way, larger investments in some of the best community colleges that exist in the United States are here in Orange County, and they are the places that have the programs that are developing the workforce that we need to fill the jobs in Orange County that exist today. So that's an area where we're sort of taking some of what we learned in our investments in STEM and in education, some of what we've done in the city of Anaheim, and really trying to package it all together, have a countywide perspective on workforce development. Because the more people who can fill the jobs and stay in Orange County, prosper here, the whole county rises.
I love the way you're going about this and the foundation is because everything connects to the next.
Well, this is exactly the point. You can't look at these problems in isolation.
That's what I love about this. It's like you fix one, you're helping. It's like this domino effect.
Totally. So last year, we made our first foray into food security. We're staying in that.
Okay.
We're there because, again, totally interconnected, right? If you solve for food security, for home, for being homed, for actually having a pathway toward a great paying job, you're starting to really lay down all the markers to have a place where everyone's got a shot at well-being and opportunity.
That's amazing. This is a lot for people to get excited about.
I think for Ducks fans, right? For people who love this team, they love that it's in Anaheim. They have pride in Orange County. I would hope they would hear the enthusiasm I have, but I hope what they would hear is how much the Samuelis deeply care about the health and well-being and vibrancy of this county, which only also benefits the team, right? Because, you know, a healthy community can sustain a hockey team. Our fans, people coming into our building, there's a recent poll that says 52% of someone in Orange County knows someone or has a family member that has experienced homelessness. These are problems that our fans know and recognize and feel. They feel some of the pinch of the economics here. They see how hard it is getting to be able to afford college. They, you know, these are things that all of our fans, I think, in some way, shape, or form relate to and can get excited about because these are just the things that help everyone in our county live a better, healthier, happier life.
Would you agree that Henry and Susan are quiet leaders?
Oh, they are. They're the best.
Because it takes something like this to let people know they do so much behind the scenes that people don't know about. Just as we came on the air the last 25, 30 years, $1 billion. Right. You don't see that anywhere. And they're okay with that.
Well, they're more than okay with it. I talk a lot about my grandfather and his influence on me. And the value he always taught me was about humility. And I really believe the best leaders in the world that we have are fundamentally humble people. They're not bombastic. They're not attention seekers. They're not the hog the mic. They just quietly and humbly go out into the world. They're eternally curious. They're always listening. They're always learning. They never pretend that they know it all. Because how can you be a leader if you close yourself off to new ideas and new people? If you think you know everything, how are you going to, you know, like, how do you expand your horizons? What happens all of a sudden if circumstances change? And so to me, they have all the hallmarks of extraordinary leaders. They're daring, they're kind, they're humble, they're loyal, they're empathetic, they're lifelong learners. You can't get a better profile of leadership than you get in those two.
Yeah. And I have mixed emotions listening to you because I'm so excited that I'm associated with the Samueli's and with the work that you're doing and everything that I'm hearing, which is just incredibly exciting and inspirational. But then it's like, I'm here by chance. You know, I was working here and then they bought the team. To find these people that do this work, and like, you know, your grandfather, humble, and it's harder to find those people.
They're really hard to find these days.
And there's so much rhetoric out there, and it's so nice. I just hope that everybody listening understands how lucky all of us are to have this type of leadership in Orange County that are actually doing something, not just talking about it, but they're doing it.
Yeah. There, I don't know if I told you the story, right? I went to University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Big Michigan year. It was great.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, there wasn't going to be a chance I was going to let this podcast go by without talking about the Rose Bowl, which my husband's son
fantastic.
And I went to.
Yes.
Really one of the more spectacular moments in Michigan history. I think it was 2019. The Michigan basketball team makes it to the Final Four against Villanova. And it really was not the year that people thought they were going to make it. And it was really exciting. They got shellacked. That's okay. And the team showed up on the finals with this t-shirt. And it said, do more, say less. Or say less, do more. Mm-hmm. I'm getting old. I can't remember the order. Maybe it was say less, do more. There's really something very powerful and profound about saying less and doing more, and let your actions be what speak for you. And what we're doing, the money that we're investing, the problems that we're going out and trying to make a difference on, like, I hope people hear this, but what I really hope is that they see our commitment through the actions that we are taking to make Orange County the best possible place it can be.
Charger van?
So I'll tell you how I feel about football.
Yeah.
I grew up a diehard Washington Redskin fan when
they were
the Redskins.
I remember, yes.
They played an RFK bench seating that rocked. Yes. It was extraordinary. We tailgated.
Theismann and Riggins and just
I was there the night he had the compound fracture on TV. Brutal. Brutal. Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Vicious tackle. Right. Grew up loving football. Then I go to a football college and you know, nothing really was, I mean, it's just, I was very spoiled on football early in my life. I just don't love it the way I used to love it. I love hockey. Hockey took over in professional sports. I mean, I love all sports. My husband and I are big sports junkies. Can't wait for the Olympics. Can't wait. But hockey really took the place in my heart where professional football lived.
Yeah.
And I'll watch occasionally. So I can't say I'm a Chargers fan. It's not like I don't like them. I just don't watch as much football as I used to.
That's enough. The head coach is going to influence you over there.
Of course it does. I mean, he's a great coach. He's a different type of leader. He's a quirky guy.
Cat. Yeah, different.
He's a little
cat.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
But what he pulled off at Michigan was really something.
Well, I cannot wait to see what this foundation is going to pull off in the next 10 years.
Thank you. We hope you'll be a part of it.
Well, yeah, my goodness. Yes, please.
Evangelize.
Please.
We'll bring some of our community leaders in to talk to you, and you can let them have the mic. Cause I mean, I'm telling the big picture story, but boy.
So much. And if you can't understand at home, it's like Lindsay and I could sit here for hours
have
conversations. But yeah, I can't thank you enough for spending the time and updating us. And it's been too long. And if Joey can make this room available, we'll be able to sit down a little more often and have these conversations.
That would be really fun.
We're at the 10 yard line. I'll go there. We're going to go 100. We're going to go 100 yards.
We're going to go 100 yards. And then you're going to see the best end zone, Shelly, you've seen in a long time. I got it for you. I'm going to be rehearsing. It will require no line.
I didn't mean to snort, but yes, that's fantastic.
I'm
working on it now. I can just picture it right now.
Right on the orange slice.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yes.
All right. Well,
we're on the 10 yard line of the best Orange County you've ever seen. And
the best Sally.
I was a collegiate lacrosse player. Like, I'm determined we will get this ball down the field what is ahead of us is a county that, however good it is now, it is capable of being so much better. And we're determined to get it there, to make it a place where everyone has a shot at well-being and opportunity.
Well, I will say this to all the folks that are listening. If you have a chance to meet Lindsay in person, you need to. It's intoxicating with her energy and passion, and such a pleasure to be around. And there is no one better. I've been around a lot of people in my day that can lead this flock better than you can. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do this again soon. I want to hear what's on the 20 and the 30 and the 40 and the 50. And as we go all the way down the
Who's doing the halftime show though? It's going to be Joey Cocktails.
Joey Cocktails. We'll see. I don't know. Do we pay for a halftime show? Because Super Bowl doesn't. So we'll have to come up with something. Yeah, we'll figure this out. Lindsay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll do this again soon.
Can't wait.
All right. It's been Lindsay Spindle. Another edition of Leading the Flock.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.